Chapter 1. Sticks and Stones. At first, Matthew thought it was just another broken branch, more of nature's debris. The woods were full of it this time of year, when spring revealed its regeneration and the leftovers of winter littered the ground. Storm-fallen limbs, snapped saplings, half-rotted trunks shedding pieces of themselves onto the damp earth. He and his best friend Micah had been combing the forest the way they often did, moving slowly along paths covered in dead leaves, eyes trained on the ground rather than the trees. They were searching for arrowheads, or something old enough to seem significant. The kinds of things that fueled his imagination, conjuring lost worlds and forgotten languages. Most of what they found was useless, except maybe to the animals and insects that lived there. A jagged stone with bugs beneath it, a bit of rusted metal sheltering a worm, a shard of something that might once have been a glass container. Still, Matthew liked believing he would find pieces of a stone knife this time, used centuries ago for hunting or warfare, or fragments of ancient pottery. Belief came easily to him. A rock with what looked like a carving etched in it could become a talisman cherished by a revered shaman. A bent nail could be a sliver of pioneer history. His imagination filled in the gaps where the real world disappointed him, and he didn't mind that at all. Reality was noisy and sharp-edged and full of modern dangers. There were no fathers who drank too much back then, although he had no way to verify that. Earlier civilizations knew about fermentation too, but were there alcoholics among the tribes? There were certainly no mothers swallowing antidepressants like vitamins just to make it through the day. No older brother who treated you like something stuck to the bottom of his shoe. No younger sister who demanded attention and received it to a degree he'd never known. In the woods, Matthew could pretend none of that existed. "What's that?" Micah said. He was standing several feet away, tall and awkward, his dirty white baseball cap turned backward the way it always was. At 12, Micah was already shooting up fast, all elbows and knees, his body not quite keeping pace with itself. His New Jersey Devil's sweatshirt hung loose on him, a hand-me-down from his cousin Lenny. Micah didn't care about hockey, but clothes were clothes, and you wore whatever showed up in the bag Aunt Trish dropped off now and then. "I thought it was a branch," Matthew said. That was not what it looked like up close. He crouched, then knelt, the dampness from the morning rain seeping straight through his jeans. The stick lay half buried beneath leaves and soil, too straight in some places, too deliberately curved in others. He wrapped his fingers around it and felt a faint resistance as he pulled it free, as if the ground didn't want to let go. It was nearly as tall as he was. "This is amazing," Matthew said, turning it in his hands. Micah stepped further away, refusing to come any closer. The upper portion of the stick twisted in on itself, curled in a way Matthew had never seen in a natural branch. It looked more like something shaped on a lathe. Two shades of brown spiraled together along its length, tight and intentional, and running through the curve was a thin vein of gold, dull rather than bright, faded from its time in the dirt. "Let's go," Micah said. "But look at it." "It's just some old hiker's walking stick," Micah said. His voice was tight. "Someone forgot it. Let's get out of here."
"I'm taking it home."
"Leave it," Micah said. The tone of his voice made Matthew look up. "What's wrong with you?"
"It's getting late."
Matthew glanced at the sky. The clouds had thickened, low and gray, pressing down on the treetops. He knew Micah was right, even if he didn't care much himself. No one would notice if he was late getting home. They'd stopped eating together long ago, trading family dinners for TV trays and microwaved meals. Micah's parents, on the other hand, would already be checking the clock. "You're such a pussy," Matthew said, the familiar insult landing without real heat. "Bring it home then," Micah said, backing away. "Just hurry up." Matthew brushed dirt and leaves from the stick, running his thumb along the twisted grain. That was when he saw it, something pale beneath the dark soil. Not a flash, not a shine, just wrongness, a whiteness that didn't belong there. He froze. He'd seen this before. Not here, not like this, but enough times to recognize it. Matthew was a forager. He knew what bones looked like when the earth tried to hide them.
It's just a dead animal, Micah said.
He didn't turn around.
Leave it alone.
Matthew didn't answer. He knelt again and brushed away the dirt, slowly at first, then faster as the shape grew larger, smoother, unmistakable. It wasn't a shard or a polished rock. It was a skull.
Jesus,
Matthew whispered, his fingers working faster. Soon there was enough of it exposed to reveal the facial bones of a dead human being, eye sockets, teeth, and a hole in the forehead. Whoever was buried there had not died peacefully. He turned to tell Micah what he'd found, but Micah was already gone, hurrying toward the road 100 yards off.
It's just a stick,
Matthew shouted after him.
Just a stick! Just a skull! Just a bullet hole!
As he stared down at what the ground had been concealing, Matthew knew there was much more to what he'd found. And someday he would understand that this was the moment he should have run, too.